Greetings, everyone. I'm Caroline Wittenberg, and welcome to another CBIC podcast episode. On today's episode, we will be discussing CBIC's Value of Certification Study, a marketing research study conducted in 2018 to determine the perceived value of the CIC among infection prevention professionals and other stakeholders. The study was co-authored by CBIC Board of Director James F. Marks, CBIC Board of Director Sandra Callery, and CBIC President Roy Bukidjian. With us today is one of those authors, Sandra Callery, who gladly offered up some of her time to chat with CBIC more about the study. Sandra is highly respected in the international infection prevention and control community and has held several leadership positions with IPET Canada. And of course, we are so lucky to have her on the CBIC Board of Directors right now and into 2020. Thank you so much for joining us, Sandra.
Thank you for having me, and hello, Carolyn.
I would like to start by getting an understanding of the study in general, the motivation behind conducting the study in the first place, methodology used, number of people surveyed, respondent backgrounds, etc. You get the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, certainly the study has been something that's been ruminating for a while, not only with the board, but I think those of us who have received certification and appreciate it. Currently, there are around 7,000 individuals who are certified in infection prevention and control, and we're really proud of that. But you also want to ask the question, why not more? And we realize that a lot of these individuals are found in the United States and Canada, and we wanted to understand a little bit more about how others, even outside of North America, might perceive this. We've received a lot of anecdotal information. Board members in general will talk about how we can promote certification. And then we suddenly realize as we sit around the table, we all have different perspectives as to why certification is important and different coming from it from different angles, if you will. So that was part of our decision to have a study, an overview or a study. And we decided to work with an external company to conduct the surveys. We used a marketing research study design. And after really completing an environmental scan, a survey was developed to answer really three key questions. What is the current value of the credential? And what are the barriers to attaining and maintaining the credential once you've received it? And how can the value of that credential be increased? And as you can imagine, the last one around the value can be interpreted in so many different ways. So that's actually where we started. So who did we survey? Well, we decided to start with the obvious. We went through our own CBIC mailing list where we have lots of people who've inquired about certification or have certification. And we went to our two major infection control associations, APIC, of course, being one, and the IPAT Canada being another. And with that, we came up with 34,778 surveys distributed between the time period of May and June in 2018. So you can see it was a pretty large study in terms of our surveys. We also actually purchased a mailing list from IQVIA, Institute for Human Data Science, and that also incorporated a little bit more into the survey response. So all of that together, we ended up with a total of 4,372 surveys completed and submitted for analysis. So we were pleased with that. If you look at how it broke down, we had certificates, about 2,000 or just over 2,000 replying. We had those who have never held a certification, just under 2,000 responding. And then, of course, we had a small group of 238 certificates who no longer have hold certification. So they were previous certificates. So we had that group to take a look at. And with that, we asked them different questions. We looked at the certification process, professionalism, competency, their career growth, how this impacted career growth, patient care and safety and infection prevention, and some of the regulatory compliances and getting their perspective on that. For the most part, we found that the respondents found our process clear and reasonable and adequate. There was some comment around certification and regulatory compliance, and many, many respondents felt they would like to see the certification applied with legislation. And their last thing that was, I think, really important for us to hear was around incorporating continuing education into the recertification process. So that's how we started to take a look at it. I think overall, we were very pleased with how the respondents were thoughtful with their responses. We also realized there's a wealth of information in the survey that we want to delve into a little bit more deeply. I think ideas and suggestions about promoting some of the credentialing and how we can influence accreditation agencies a little bit more. I think that there's lots of opportunity here to highlight more of the values of certification and the professionalism that comes with certification. So we're going to take a closer look at those responses as well and incorporate that with the board and our strategic thinking around certification. So I'm going to pause there to see if the question that you have.
Sure. Well, thank you for providing us with some further context. I'd say in the span of like 4 minutes or so, you seem to have encapsulated a process that clearly took months and months. I can only imagine how much work and coordination went into completing this study among the board and the participants and the respondents. But you already touched on this a little bit. Is there anything else you'd like to share about like the scope of this study overall from a board perspective, from the perspective of those you were working with?
Well, yes, I think, first of all, I'd like to say that in terms of the scope of the survey, we have, although we went through databases that we're very familiar with, we do have some international respondents as well beyond North America, and that's really important for us to hear about as well because they are also part of our Infection Prevention and Control Association. So we're happy to hear those voices as well. I think the other thing that came through loud and clear for me, especially in some of the open-ended type comments or feedback, was around how affirming the certification is and how credible people feel once they have received their certification. So there were lots of rich bits of information that I think we need to take advantage of and share with others. We haven't gone into a great detail with this particular conversation around its influence on hiring, and that was also commented on by many of the respondents that up to close to 50% of positions that are posted are requesting that certification be a component of or the criteria that they want to see when hiring an infection preventionist. So those things are very important, and I think important for us to share with those who are considering the certification and wondering if it has value for them.
Sure. I can only imagine how many more kernels you can pull out from this study. Going to kind of the results of the study, I pulled this from the abstract that respondents of the study stated that certification demonstrates professional competency, leads to increased career growth, correlates with improved regulatory compliance, and improves the practice of infection prevention and control. Aside from these takeaways, can you share what some of the other results were? Would you agree on all these points as somebody who is certified yourself?
Absolutely. If I go way back into my memory bank and remember when I first became certified, first of all, I was extremely happy and proud of myself for taking on the initiative and becoming certified. the thing that actually resonated with me so much those so many years ago was the fact that I got a special card from the president and CEO of the hospital in which I was working, who said that he had heard that I had taken this certification exam and how extremely pleased he was, congratulated me, and said how fortunate they were as an organization to have someone who took this on and brought that level of credibility to the role. So that, I'm telling you this many years later because it stays with you. And those are things that you can't really put a price tag on, if you know what I mean. It's very difficult to share in a quantitative way how that affects someone and stays with them. And one of the things that came through in this more subtle way with the respondents in the survey was actually the confidence that they gain once they've received certification, and the fact that it helps them when they have dialogue with frontline staff, nurses at the bedside. So those are the things that I think are sometimes those intangibles that are very difficult to capture in their entirety through a traditional study methodology.
Absolutely. The value is immeasurable, but you touched on this a little earlier, that many employers are now looking for certification as a condition of hire. And as we know, as we've seen here, as the benefits of certification become clearer, it's obvious that there are even more reasons than that to pursue certification. Professionally speaking, obviously, if an employer mandates it, but it's also to make yourself more attractive as a potential hire. And aside from the professional benefits, like you said, there's also the self-confidence factor, because certification is an acknowledgement of mastery of knowledge in a certain field, in infection prevention and control, and can potentially make certificants better at their jobs, which I'm sure it does. But whatever the reason for it, it clearly holds a lot of value. Can you speak to this more as a CIC? I know you just mentioned your personal experiences, but also in relation to the study and certification overall.
Well, yes, I think in when we were doing our literature review to support our study, we certainly came across many different research papers that also describe the benefits of a certified IP within an organization. And that being when they look at certain types of infections and their transmission. And that has come through loud and clear in several other studies. So they found that actually those facilities that have certified IPs also had very strong quality improvement initiatives within their organization as well. So there are a lot of benefits that I think employers start to see with the certification. It's a value added, and it spills over into other areas that they want to ensure are occurring within their organizations and with accreditation.
Do you have any parting words as somebody who is seasoned in the CIC world?
Well, certainly, we can't discuss a study without recognizing, first of all, that there are some limitations to our study. And someone may challenge us and say we reached out to the converted. I think, though, hopefully I've been able to describe that the respondents fell into two camps primarily, those that held CIC and those that have never held a certification. And then there were some where it lapsed or their certification has lapsed. However, we did target certain areas or certain organizations for that list for surveys. So that might be a bit of a limitation in getting the full picture. I think the other thing that in terms of those who are considering it and then they look at the price tag, I think that that's where, because certainly purchasing, applying and registering these things have a monetary value. And the only thing I can tell people is that for me and for others, when we look at survey results, do often have this compensated with a better salary than those who are not certified. The other thing that I think is important to remember is that I mentioned around the value of the certification, but there's also some barriers to attaining it, and we realize that for those who would like to be certified and they're frustrated right now because they don't feel they have an avenue or access, there are different, depending on that barrier for you, you need to know that your board is trying to address those things. And we're trying to address it in different ways. We're trying to address it in terms of making sure you're aware of different working groups, online working groups. So this study really is a jumping off place for us. It really allows us to have more research conducted and further highlight the value of certification. There's a lot more information I think we can glean from this, and we hope that it will improve not only the product that we have in certification, but allows for more people to see themselves as becoming certified.
And that's all we want to see, is just people succeeding. To wrap things up, where can people access the study if they want to read more about it?
Well, currently it's published in two different areas. The American Journal of Infection Control has published this year, and they can see it both on the online version as well as in the Canadian Journal in Infection Control.
Awesome. Thank you, Sandra. And for everyone out there, you can also find a link to the study, in addition to the ways that Sandra just mentioned, by visiting Civic News and Media section. Just head to civic.org, cbic.org, and navigate to the News and Media tab. And that concludes another episode. Sandra, thank you so much for your time today.
No, thank you. You're most welcome.
Until next time, future and fellow CICs.